don't need to call anybody. Everybody need to call me. I'm the star boy. I'm the superstar of UFC.
Manel, star boy, Cam!
The future is now Macy Barber!
I knew once I looked across the cage room, I knew I had her.
Macy, the future Barber!
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Hi, Matt. We have Manel Cape today, and we also have Macy Barber returning to the show. I don't know if I was on when she was on. It's been a year ago, January, so I'm not sure if I was on with her or not. I don't remember, but she's fighting Montana De La Rosa, and Manel is fighting Suma Darji. And this is on. I'm so blind. I literally cannot read. I am fucking blind. April 23rd is fight night. Yeah. Lemus versus Andrade. Wow, is my eyesight getting bad.
That's this Saturday night, man. I like that a lot. Macy Barber had that tough fight with the last fight was with Maverick.
Yeah, she won a split decision. A lot of people thought Maverick won it. And I wonder if that affects the psyche of a fighter when it's a split decision. And there's a lot of people saying you didn't win it. Does it affect you as a fighter?
I mean, shit, man. When you lose a split decision, you're like, ah, but it was a split. Somebody thought I won. I lost some of those split decisions.
Were they easier than a unanimous, or was it tougher because you only needed one more judge?
It just makes it feel like it's closer when it's a split, you know. But, it still sucks. But Jimmy, so what's your weekend like? We'll get to these fights in a second.
I am
doing another gig
tonight. I'm working at the Comedy Cellar around the corner, the Fat Black Pussycat. I'm running my hour, and the rest of the week I'm just doing spots. I don't go back out till May 6th and 7th in Bridgeport, Connecticut. It's my next like headline gig, so I'm just staying in the city for the next couple of weeks doing shows, and I'll go out and do that.
How's the new material working?
Love it. I love it. I haven't felt this good on stage in a long fucking time. I've loved it. DC was incredible. And it's a lot of fun talking about what's been going on in my life. So yeah, I'm really, really loving it.
Yeah?
Yeah. The layoff, you know how it was, man. It was really hard, the whole layoff. But like, you appreciate things that you might not have appreciated before. Like, I'm sure you appreciated just rolling and shit when you couldn't do it for months, right? Like the little stuff.
Everything, dude. This morning, I went to the school. I taught the 7 a.m. class. There was 32 people there.
Wow. What time do you wake up for that? 5:30?
Like 5:15 sometimes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's weird, right? Because I'm not normally the normal like early riser, but I take naps.
I wish I could, yeah.
It's not like I get up at 5 and think I gotta go sling a hammer all day. I gotta go. I go to my school, I get my head straight, I do my steam, and then I teach some nice jujitsu. Today I had all my fine students at Sarah BJJ. They were working on their posture, standing up in posture. When people go to mess with your posture and how you keep your base standing and then end up passing the guard. So it was fun. Jimmy.
7 a.m. Wow. It's amazing.
It's fun, though.
I know. But these are all people going to work after, right? This is the time of day they can do it.
This is all doctors, fucking police, lawyers, everybody. Everybody's getting 9-to-5s. Yeah, you're regular Joes.
That's smart. Smart time to do it. And they what? They get done. The class is done at 8 o'clock. They take a quick shower, head to work.
Dude, I tell them, I go, look, you guys could be at fucking Planet Fitness right now, lifting shit up or on a treadmill. Come on, you're getting more dangerous, I tell them.
Yeah.
Everybody's leaving more dangerous. And it's true. Their endorphins are running. Jimmy, I wish you lived closer.
I do too, man. I really want you. I've been practicing my karate stance. Yeah. I do that like to scare people on the subway. I get into a karate stance.
Does it feel a little safer in New York? How does it feel?
You know, I don't ride the subway much because I'm a gentleman. But you feel like there's still an air of menace. It's not, I guess, as bad as it was 8 months ago, but it still sucks. It's still unnecessarily violent.
Speaking of violent, man, I really want to see that new movie, The Northman.
Did you What's see-
that? Oh,
the my- Norton?
No, not
a flabby little man who runs away.
it's the totally opposite thing.
Oh,
the Norton would be a weird. I don't know what that'd be a weird film.
Yeah,
you know. But this is called The Northmen. It's about the Viking revenge story. All right. I mean, you could tell it's got Nicole Kidman in it. It's got that guy Eric from.
She plays a Viking.
Well, Nicole Kidman doesn't play a Viking.
Oh,
but. Eric something. I know the guy from he was in True Blood.
Eric Roberts. He plays the Viking.
Well, first of all, though, it's not Eric Roberts. For the kids at home, Eric Roberts is Julia Roberts.
Older.
Yeah, it's from the 80s.
Julia Roberts' brother. He's a great actor.
Yes, exactly. I don't even know if the kids at home will know who Julia Roberts
is. I know Eric Andre. Eric Andre. Hilarious. He's playing the Viking.
So anyway, this movie, The Viking, it's supposed to be real. I forgot who's...
It's about a football player in Minnesota?
No, it's about an actual Viking who wants to get revenge. And it's basically like the Lion King when the uncle does something. I think it's an uncle. He takes over and the father dies. And then the kid's got to, it's a revenge story. That's all I know. But I do know it's done by the same guy who did The Lighthouse, which was a creepy fucking show with William Dafoe.
I never saw that either.
Well, you better get with the times, young man.
I'm watching a series, but not that one yet.
What are you watching, man? What are you watching? Tell me, dude.
The Dropout. It's about that Theranos Hulu. It's the first thing I've watched on Hulu. I got to be honest. A lot of the Netflix made for Netflix stuff I don't love. I mean, their comedy is great and some crime documentaries, but this is really fucking good.
What is it?
It's about, you know, the Elizabeth Holmes Theranos, they had that medical device they said could test you for all these diseases with one drop of blood. And it's a huge scandal, and there was a bunch of people lost money, and apparently there was a big ripoff going on.
Oh, it's grown-up stuff.
Yes, but dude, it's so good. Amanda Freed or something, what's her name? I would say Siegfried, but...
This fucking...
It's very, very well acted. Hold on, The Dropout, Amanda, Seyfried, whatever you say her name. She's fucking great. And this is really well done. So far, Hulu's shit I love.
My Uncle Joe the other day was telling me that Lucifer is good. Lucifer.
Do you mean, is there a show or does he mean the being?
He's not into.
Devil worshiper.
Nah, he's not into Satan.
Oh, okay.
But he said the show Lucifer is really good.
Is that with Idris Elba?
I don't know, but he goes, it's well acted.
Oh, no, I'm so stupid. It's Luther. He was in Luther.
The way I pronounce it?
No, Idris Elba was in a show called Luther. You know who he is, right?
Who?
Idris Elba.
No, I don't.
Tall, very handsome black actor. He was in The Wire. He's great, yeah.
You're talking about the guy that was Bloodsport in fucking Suicide Squad.
Well, I don't know. I just know him as
was he in Pacific Rim?
I just know him as Stringer Bell from The Wire. That's it. Great actor.
What's his name?
Idris Elba. Idris Elba.
He's an older guy and he's got a little bit older, but he's got an English accent.
Yeah, and he does a lot. And by the way, I watched the entire 5 seasons of The Wire. I never knew he was British until I heard him talk. I was like, what the fuck?
Jimmy, I'm yet to get into The Wire. I never gave it a chance.
It's great. It's a great show. All the characters are heroes and villains. That's why I loved it.
Oh, so it's like Game of Thrones.
No, but I mean, they show people accurately. They show them all as complete people who have great sides and beautiful sides and shitty, corrupt sides. They show all of the people having really noble and really corrupt sides. It's good. It's a great show.
Well, maybe I'll check it out.
You should. It's really great. You've seen The Sopranos, of course. That's the best show in history. But The Wire is my second favorite.
That's a lot to say.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this.
Manel Cape, ready to go.
Manel Cape. No, Manel Cape, he's never been on the show. Let's get to know him.
I don't blame him. He probably was holding out, refusing to do it. And
No. I'm sure he's happy to meet us.
Okay.
So let's go meet him.
Yep.
He's fighting Sumudarji.
Yes.
Happy to say a name, but I'm happy I get a name right.
That's a great name. Sumudarji is a great name.
When I say
a name, and he has a great fucking left.
I should just say a name right, but when I do it, I'm going to do this. I'm going to look at you. I'm going to like.
You don't even need to. You just look at me. I'll know you're proud of yourself.
I won't do that again. I think I did that.
You can. You can do it. You should do it as often as you feel is necessary. Hey, man, how are you?
Hey, the meat guy sticking his head in. I'm sorry, that's from Rocky. I just see a little. I don't know if that's a mannequin, but I see a little something to the. Hey, what's up, buddy? Who's in the background?
You know who is this guy?
Who?
Amori Bitet.
Wait a minute, Amori Bitet.
Yes,
he is a jiu-jitsu legend.
Amori. Oh, thank you, Greg.
Hey, man, are you serious? Hey. I don't know if you're getting stopped at airports, but I fucking know you. I know Amori Bitet. Jimmy, yes. He is a old school. He fought Don Fry back in the day, but he's a jiu-jitsu legend right there. Nice to see you, man. Shit. I'm sorry, man, Gabe. I didn't know you have BJJ royalty with you.
I'm a BJJ guy. You need to be with me.
Amori Bitet, that's amazing, man.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So listen, man, yo, let's get to know you a little bit, man. It's your first time on the show. People love the way you fight, but we want to get to know you a little bit. What'd you get started with, man? What was your first discipline?
My first discipline was boxing because my father was a world champion boxing and Olympic fighter. He fought in Seoul. Olympics games in Seoul, I think in...
Is that 88?
I think 96. 96 or 98.
I was way off.
You're a decade off, Jimmy.
But I was way... I'm older.
Yes. And I started boxing with my 4 years old. Start boxing and soccer. I was a soccer player and did boxing. Then I start my BJJ at 10 years old. And MMA, of course, MMA, kickboxing, everything. It's funny because my one of my best friends, he showed me the jiu-jitsu. I was thinking like, oh, this arts martial for me is nothing because I can punch you and you will be knocked out. And when we're training, he grabbed me, submit me, and I could do nothing, you know? And I feel like, I need to learn this, you know? Because he grabbed me and did nothing, you know? I was without... any strength, any power, and I feel like I need to train in jiu-jitsu.
You said I want to learn how to do what he just did to me.
Yes.
And you really have looked good in your last couple of fights. Obviously the Osborne, the knee, it almost looked to me like you were setting him up for that knee.
Of course. I was training this.
Did you set him up? There was one moment where I you almost looked like you were shooting for a takedown. I don't know if you were or if that was just a fake. You weren't. You were just kind of.
It was a fake. Be pretended something that is not was. And of course, I set him up. I was with ortho. Then I was a southpaw. Then I changed to ortho. Yeah. I've been training this a lot. Of this movement, you know, go back. And change the stance and the go knee, you know.
It almost looked like when you shot in a little bit, and he obviously went down to defend, like you were setting him up for the knee. When after I saw the knee, I realized it. I didn't realize when I first saw it, but that was really, really beautifully done.
Yes.
You know, you started your UFC career a little shaky. You came in with, you know, you were 0-2, and then you turned it around. Now you're on a 2-fight win streak. It must have been a little scary getting that second loss and thinking, oh, shit, my job might be at my stake. Where was our mindset and then what changed to get you back on track?
I never in myself. I know that it was never wrong with my game. My game was perfect. I know that I was on shape. I was doing everything right. I have a problem in my feet. I was sleep a lot. Sleepy. If you see my fighters in Japan. I fight with boots, with shoes, because I can't stay without boots and fight because I'm sleep a lot. I was fighting my first fight. I was in a rice ring, and I could make my game like go and back, come back, go and faintings. Don't feel not me, you know. And funny because I have one guy, one scientist in California, in AKA California, he told me for do pedicure, and give some treatments in my foot, you know. And then I my foot can be more grappled in octagon.
Was your foot sweating or was it totally dry?
Sweaty a lot.
So you'd slip.
Yeah, sleep a lot. You can see my fight against Pantoja. I was in the timing, you know, I was in the timing. I touched him and I want to go back. But like he touched me and I said, like, this guy's not fast at me, and I training and fighting with guys more fast than him, they couldn't touch me. But this guy could touch me because I didn't have the adherence in feet for go back, come back, touch, and go outside, come back and touch. Like, and when this happened, and like make me feel more tired, you know, and then I need to slow down my game.
What are we going to do about your sweaty feet?
No, now I'm okay. Now I'm okay. Now I'm okay. I find the problem. Now I'm okay, you know.
You put a little speed stick on that?
Put
a little deodorant?
Yeah, deodorant and everything.
Was it happening in training too? Like, were you dealing with it in training? Yeah, or was it only on fight?
Yes, before it was happening in training, but I feel the material, the octagon, the cage, the UFC, make a little bit sleep more, you know.
How frustrating was that?
I was very frustrated.
I've never heard that from a fighter before, and I can imagine that that's got to be like one of those things that it's just, you like, you know, no matter how hard you train, you can't beat that.
It's not excuses. It's not excuses because in myself, I was looking good, and another fight I won the fight against Matheus Nicolau. Against Pantoja, I have the most significant strikings, you know. I was checking everything what Pantoja did with the kicks. I was checking everything. I see everything. I just couldn't step outside because I was sleeping. But I saw for myself, when I resolve this issue, I'll be knock out everybody.
And you look like you got tagged pretty well against Shumagalov and as well. Against Osborne, they both seemed to tag you. And for some reason, that seemed to focus you. Like in both of those fights, it seemed like those guys landed pretty hard strikes. And instead of backing off, it seemed like it kind of leveled you out and focused you in some way.
Hmm. You look, I never been knocked out. You know, I never been knocked out. I trust in myself. You know, I have a good movement in my head and everything. And I absorb very power. The hands, I believe that any flyweight can knock out me, you know, it's 100% sure.
You believe that they can't knock you out?
No, they can't.
Okay. That's a good confidence to have. It's a good confidence. There was one moment where I thought, oh, he might be a little hurt, but I guess not. And you had great, great leg kicks against Zhagas. Do you plan on, again, you're not going to give away your game plan, but is that something that you think is going to help you?
Yeah, yes. We plan for slow down him. I know that he have a good
tremendous left,
good pace in the first round. I see his fight is going in very good pace. So if I slow down his leg, of course he can move. He can throw his hover hands. And I can touch him more times, of course, and go inside.
Now you expressed some interest in the future in fighting possibly Tim Elliott. Is that what I'm hearing here?
Yes.
Now why? I mean, I can imagine, but why Tim Elliott?
No, Tim Elliott's been talk about me, you know.
Ooh.
If somebody talk about me, you need to fight. You
Wait
know?
A second, Manuel. His name came out of your mouth? Wait,
yeah.
No.
Your name came out of his mouth.
Yes.
Yeah, his name came in my mouth.
What happened?
No, he's been talking like, when I come to UFC, of course, Manuel is former rising champion. I would love to fight him. So, okay, if you say something like that, we're going to fight. You know, I normally never choose the fighter. I fight who my manager give me. And yes,
coming in as a former champion and knowing that guys are already aware of you, that's got to make you feel good, though. If guys are already kind of calling you out before you've had a lot of UFC experience, that's got to make you feel good that you're coming in. You're not coming in from the bottom. You're kind of coming in as a known fighter.
Yes, I know my potential. I know my talent, you know, and even if I was not a champion, I know that I'm the most talented fighter in my division, and I've been sure this in my fights. I did things that everybody don't did, you know. I see things that everybody don't see inside the cage. So I'm pretty confident on this.
And you got to train with Khabib in February?
Yeah, yes.
How did that come about, and how was it?
No, it's amazing. It's an amazing experience. The man is very wise, training is strong. You know, you have a strong team, very disciplined. and have a good partnership.
When you want to train with somebody like Khabib or a legend in the sport, will you, if you see somebody in the gym, just ask them if you can train with them, or will you have it arranged beforehand? How would you work something like that out?
No, because he's from AKA, me, I'm from AKA too. I'm from AKA Thailand. I train with Mike Swick in AKA Thailand. And when it was the COVID, so everything shut down in Thailand, and I didn't have a partner's training. So he called Javier for I live to US and training there in AKA. Ah.
So tell us some stuff besides all the training, all the martial arts, the running, something unrelated, a hobby. What do you like to do? Let's get to know you a little bit better. The people want to know.
I like to read books, a lot of books. I read a lot of books. I like to listen to music. I like play tennis. I like cook. This is my favorite thing, cooking. And even when I lose weight right now, I'm cooking for the guys because make me feel tranquility, you know, make me feel peaceful, you know.
And you cook healthy for yourself when you're training.
Yes, make me feel peaceful, take all the stress from the training, from the sauna, the losing weight, and of course, listen to good music and read. This make me feel very well.
What kind of books do you like?
Are you normally I like stories. Like last time I was read one story of the one daughter and the father that they are alone, the mother die, you know, and I like economist books too. Rich Father, Poor Father, Rich Father is one of my favorites. The it's Robert.
Rich Man, Poor Man.
Yes. I like this. One of my favorites, and I like one of the philosophy. You know, philosophy books that intrigue me myself to understood about the life, the everything. You know, the connections. Why this happened for some reason. And I believe everything happened because when I was a kid, I was thinking like myself all the time. I watched the videos on YouTube, 50 Cent, Floyd Mayweather. And I said for myself, I want to live one day in Vegas, you know. Yeah. It was kid. I was watching in YouTube. I want to live in Las Vegas, you know. I want to buy these clothes, you know, what they have. And I thought to myself, I want to be the best fighter. I want to be a world champion. And everything happened, you know, in my life. What I did, what I say, what I think, everything happened. And for me, is have some reason, you know. And I understood and find why this happened. Because everything what I say happened.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Portugal.
You grew up in Portugal. And did you fight a lot when you were a kid? I always ask fighters what growing up, did you have to fight in your neighborhood?
A lot. I fought a lot in streets, even amateur. I have a lot of fighters. I'm 10-0 in amateur fight. I did a lot of jiu-jitsu fight, you know, but I stopped to do jiu-jitsu because to put more food on home. And they asked me to fight in MMA. I was 17 years old, and I get my first paycheck was €400, and I can give to my mother and help at home. So this because I stopped fighting a little bit more jiu-jitsu because I'm more jiu-jitsu guy, and step to the MMA.
How did you feel the first time you get paid for it?
Feel amazing. You know, it's one feeling. You know, right now, I think I'm the one of the flyweights that the UFC pay more, but my first check to 400 is was more decent than right now that $100,000.
Yeah, because the first one meant that, hey, I can actually do this and make money for it. There's something that kind of changes the way you view it.
Was more decent. Give this money for my mother. It's €400. It was less, but this was my happiness money. Even that you, if you pay me $1 million, I don't will have the same feeling what I have the my first paycheck.
Maybe not, but something tells me if you're making $1 million for a fight, you'll forget the first one and enjoy the million.
Yeah, I will enjoy. The happiness was in my first paycheck.
Okay. Well, you're really you're a very exciting guy to yes. to watch, and you know, obviously, I think, what are you ranked? Is it 14. Well, you are number 14 now.
Yes, yes.
Does that matter to you? Some guys don't care, and then some guys go, look, the higher I'm ranked, the more likely for a title shot. So it does matter to you where you're ranked?
Of course matter. Of course matter. They did this. Of course, right now matter. But remember, the ranking is just a number.
Yeah. You
know, ranking is just a number. Many of these guys that are in top five, top eight, they don't achieve things that I achieve. I have already four belts, you know. So
and you righted your ship, man. Whatever, you know, you had to get your feet less slippery and whatnot, and you won your last two. So I'm excited. I'm excited for this weekend, buddy. We're all excited to see you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck against Sumudarji, another really, really solid fighter. This is an incredible matchup, and look forward to watching this. We will definitely be watching your fight.
This is the main event of the people.
Okay. We're going to be watching, man. And Professor Amori Patechi, nice to see you. Hey. Very good to see you, OG.
My friend.
Good to see you, brother.
I love you.
All right, guys.
Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, guys. I was shocked to see his jiu-jitsu coach.
Yeah. I know who he is. I don't think I've seen him fight, but I know who he is.
Now, listen, you know Don Fry, of course, right?
Of course.
Now, at the time, jiu-jitsu was this was like almost like a turning point in the UFC where the jiu-jitsu guys were killing everybody. So there was a big thing about Amari, obviously, when Royce Gracie was in and everything. So when Amari Patechi was going to go in, he was favored to destroy everybody because he was a very athletic. Right. You know, he was good with his takedowns. He was killing the jiu-jitsu sports scene. And he's tough. But the problem was he fought his first fight was with Don Fry.
Right.
And Don Fry was one of the first well-rounded guys where he was a little bigger than Amari. And he was hard to get down. He couldn't just take him down. And there was a lot of scrambles back up. He ended up losing to Don Fry.
Okay.
And it was like a shock. Like, wow. The jiu-jitsu guy lost. I don't think he had a lot of success in MMA, but he was a very good jiu-jitsu guy. But it was one of those eye-opening fights where it's like, okay, you need more than just jiu-jitsu.
Right, right, right. You have to be well-rounded.
Yeah. But, again, very skilled grappler. So I like to see some of the old-school guys. I mean, that guy predates me. So shows you how old-school he is. So, hey, man, I was happy to see that guy in there, you know?
Yeah.
The old guy is resurfacing.
Go ahead. You got it.
Resurfacing.
Yeah. You had it.
Resurfacing? No.
Yeah.
I said it right? Why do I got to second guess myself?
I don't know. How did you say it?
No, I fucking said it wrong.
No, you didn't.
Jimmy, when they show up again. Hey.
Yeah.
Seen any movies lately?
No, I want to watch Final Destination, which I've never seen.
Are you fucking
never saw that.
Final Destination?
I've never seen it.
When the kids don't go on a fucking airplane, they're supposed to die.
Yeah.
No, death is like, you're not cheating me.
Yeah.
You know?
I want to see it.
Dude, first of all, it's like fucking 30 years ago that came out.
Yeah.
And second of all, now how about this? Now I realize you're just fucking with me.
No, I'm not actually. I'm really not.
What made you pick Final Destination of all the movies out there?
It was, we were talking about it with, I forget where I was when they were talking about it, but it kind of made me want to see it.
Don't be so obsessed with death, Jimmy.
No, I'm not.
All right, let's pick this thing back up. We got Macy Barber coming
Maybe
in.
Maybe she's seen it.
Let's not ask her.
I'm going to ask her. I think it's the only thing I want to know. Have you seen Final Destination? Hey, how are you, Macy?
Hey, how are you?
Have you ever seen Final Destination?
Hold on, Macy. Why do you?
You're gonna ace yourself, maybe. What is?
It's a horror movie that I've never seen, and we were just talking about it before. And Matt said, "Don't ask Macy if she's seen it," and that's the first thing I have to ask you. I feel like everyone has seen this film, but me. Final Destination.
She's Googling it right now.
Yeah. I guess you haven't seen it, but.
No.
Where have you been, Macy Barber? We have not seen you. Haven't been on here in a hot minute. Yeah, you're not going to want that. That movie's not that. That's not.
I'm not very good when it comes to horror movies, honestly.
Oh, but don't watch the new Scream, by the way. It was horrendous.
I'm just bad. The only time I watch horror movies is when I'm like with a couple of friends, and like I think I've seen a total of like 5, maybe 10.
Do they freak you out, or is just not your cup of tea?
Honestly, the reason why is because I'm like, as a fighter, I feel like our life is stressful enough that we're like getting punched all the time. We're like wrestling, you know, like we put a lot of stress on ourselves. So I'm like, why would I watch a stressful movie when I just would rather laugh? You know, like I'd much rather just like laugh and chill than watch something that's going to stress me out.
Okay. Because they are frightening. And as much as we're adults and we feel like, it's a movie, it does scare the shit out of you sometimes. It does me too.
Yeah. And then also before, like, the time that I was like, when I was living on my own, is like, I don't want to be home alone in the dark, even though I'm a fighter, you know, you don't want to be scared. I'm scared of the dark.
My friend gave me a copy of The Ring when it came out. And I'm not kidding you. I'm 53 now. I was probably 30 something. I had to sleep with the lights on as a grown man. The Ring scared me so much. So yeah, I kind of like when a movie makes me feel something, but yeah, I think you're probably right. You have a stressful enough life. You want to be entertained and relax.
How about a touching movie? I think that, what was it? King Richard? I just watched that. That was a good movie.
Is that with Will Smith?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Like a good movie is a lot better than a horror film, in my opinion.
I'm still trying to get over that my partner here had to sleep with the lights on. And Jimmy, why'd you have to
sleep in
front of? I literally, if Maisie did, we didn't talk to Maisie so long, I would have just exited out of this effing interview.
I wouldn't blame you, Matt. You'd be right. If you would literally have had me fired from the UFC, you'd be correct. However, I wanted Macy to know that I have to own it. Like, I get being scared. I had to own my own terror. I slept with the lights on.
For me, I don't know if it's okay for a grown man.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, look, we all know it's humiliating. And the fact that I didn't, my friend gave it to me. That's even worse. I didn't even pay to watch the movie. My friend had gave it to me for free after BitTorrent downloading it. But yeah, it scared the shit out of me.
Why should you be like, I'm also afraid to have my feet. Like if your feet, when your covers don't cover your feet, are you that too?
Don't care for that. I don't like the feeling. It just feels like my feet are trying to escape. I don't like it. It's like, get under the covers.
Let me tell you, I seen the new Scream and it was so disappointing. I didn't make it through it. It was so horrible. And I used to like the old one. It was fun. It was like, had like a Halloween-y feel to it. Did you ever watch Scream?
I might have.
Well, Scream was fun. But the new one?
Not very good.
Oh, no. It's so stupid.
She likes nice movies. She likes inspirational nice movies.
Yeah, that's what she likes.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for a romantic comedy. I love romance movies. That's a typical girl in me.
You like a rom-com?
Yeah.
Like Jennifer Aniston? She's like the queen of rom-com.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't?
Like a Long Came Polly. I don't know, right?
I can't think of a rom-com I've seen that I love, but I'm sure I've seen them, but I can't think of one that I've watched that I liked.
You're a guy. That's most guys.
All right.
Are you watching any series now or anything since we're talking about entertainment? Are you like a...
I mean, right now, I mean, the only thing that we have on replay is New Girl, but that's just like past the time, like when you're sitting down to eat like lunch in between breakfast, like turn on New Girl.
What's New Girl?
It's basically about four adults that live together.
New Girl?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Oh, it's a comedy.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. They're all pretty stupid.
Maisie likes to keep it light.
Yes, she does.
I don't watch too. I try not to watch too much TV right now. I'm trying to do like a real estate course. So like most of my TV watching is turning on a course, Make Real Estate Real, from Jamal King. So like that's what I'm doing right now is learning about real estate.
Why real estate? Like Ally Quinta obviously is a real estate salesperson. Is it something you'd want to do after fighting, or is it just a skill you want to acquire for when you buy your own place and do it on part time?
Probably a little bit of both. You know, I want to have like, you know, residual income. I want to have, you know, a backup plan, obviously. You know, you want to have kind of like a security behind you, you know?
Sure.
So I feel like real estate, you know, after I'm done fighting, you know, you can't fight forever. So learning that. And then also, I don't want to throw my money into rent every year for the rest of my life. So probably buying and learning where to buy, when to buy, all of that would be pretty smart.
My mother was very good with money. My dad's irresponsible like I am. And I wound up buying at one point too, because that's what my mother said. You don't want to just keep paying rent, because as the years go on, you're just throwing money away. You know, mothers say that shit. And she was right.
Yeah. It's like a black hole.
Yeah.
So Macy, where are you training now? Are you training with Team Alpha Male?
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is my second camp with them. And I don't plan on leaving. I know I bounced around a ton, but I'm like, I've known, actually, I met Danny and Uriah probably 8 years ago now, 9 years ago, just when I was fighting in LFA. Like, I met them at some of the fights, and I went out to Team Alpha Male a while ago, back when they were in like their original building.
Yeah.
Trained a little bit, but I actually got the stomach flu, so I wasn't able to train like more than a day. But I went out there, went back, and then I never reconnected until just in this last year. And I reconnected and I made the move, and I went out just to train for 2 weeks. And then after training 2 weeks, I was like, nope, this is the place to be. So I stayed an extra day in a hotel and found an apartment, signed a lease the next day. It was kind of like a, let's just do it.
Right, right. Why did you bounce around a lot? Do you kind of get sick or bored of things, or do you feel like you've learned all you could in a place and you want to just get out of there?
No, I feel like, I mean, my dad and I always, you know, travel around trying to find the best. And I mean, that's what I kind of started doing, was training in Colorado and then traveling to Jackson Wink just to train. I wasn't even old enough to fight yet. So that's kind of when I went out there. So traveling out there and just kind of getting used to seeing all the things you can and learning as much as possible. And as time went on and as like my fight career kind of like kept going, and obviously now I'm like in a camp and in fights, you know, consistently, it's like, I feel like having a home is really good. And I never really found a place that was like, yeah, this is home, with like girls, with all the training, you know, striking, wrestling, grappling at the highest level. And I feel like that's kind of what I found finally. So
do you have a weather preference? Like, is it one of those things where you're looking for a new home where like, I will go anywhere, but I prefer it to be hot, or would you really not care?
That wasn't my like reasoning for anything. Cause I mean, I went from Colorado to Wisconsin, like Wisconsin in the summers is beautiful. But then I went from Wisconsin to Chicago, and I was in Chicago during the winter. So that was like the worst weather possible. Yeah. Like,
it can't get any worse.
It was disgusting. It was terrible. So I was in Chicago for the winter. And then that was the only time I was like, man, I sure hope I'm never here again. But then I mean, now that I'm in Sacramento, I mean, the weather's beautiful, you know, all the time. And sometimes it rains, but I love the weather. It makes a lot easier to go out and train when you're like, yeah, you know, you can run outside, you can bike to the gym. It's really nice.
Yeah, you're not dreading it.
Yeah, which it's hard to dread something when it's like your life and your career, you know, and you love it so much. So it's like, I don't want that to be another reason. So I really do like the weather out here or out there.
If I could choose one for the rest of my life, the regular New York slice pizza or the Chicago deep dish, I'm going with the New York regular slice. But
why?
But Macy Barber, a good thick Chicago slice pizza, that what do you call it? The
deep dish.
Deep dish?
Yes.
Stop it, Matt.
Jimmy, it is good. No, it's good.
I'd rather eat a shoe. It's terrible. Regular pizza.
First of all, how dare
you? I don't think I've ever had it. I like really thin crust pizza.
Yes, deep dish stinks. Don't
but I've never
to
had like a really good deep dish pizza. So you might have
no to one has. There's no such thing.
Jimmy's silly. He's a silly person. It is good. I had my other brother-in-law, Pasquale, lives from there, and he would send me some, you know.
Pizza?
Yes, it'd come in the frozen thing. I don't know how you got it delivered. But wow, it was delicious. It's a thick slice. You gotta get the right one though. All right, now I'm just being a fat guy. But anyway, so Maisie, it's been a minute since we spoke to you.
I know.
When was your fight with Miranda Maverick, which was?
I think it's July 24th, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, so what's going on now? Just training? Any injuries? What's up?
Yeah, that was not the plan. I mean, I was obviously trying to fight really soon. So I got rescheduled to fight December 11th. Funny enough, I was scheduled to fight Montana, and she tore her... She pulled out of the fight like within a few weeks. And at first I was like, yeah, she's scared. You know, like I was like talking smack. But it turns out she tore her ankle.
Oh, shit.
Well, then I got a replacement fight and I was scheduled to fight someone else. 2 weeks later, I tore my ankle.
Oh, wow. Who did they reschedule you with?
I think it was Aaron Blanchfield. They gave me an option between two. So it was Aaron Blanchfield and Ariane Lipsky, I think.
Okay.
So they gave me an option and they were like, you can fight this one or that one. I chose Aaron, and then I tore my ankle like 2 weeks later. So then I got pulled from the fight. And I'm pretty sure we tore like the same thing. So that's kind of a weird situation, but I mean, we're both healthy now, and our rehab I think was probably around the same time. So now we're back.
And you said you want to be the first person to submit her.
To submit Montana?
Yeah.
Nah, just to finish her. I don't care if I submit her or knock her out.
Oh, okay. You don't care how you finish her.
Yeah, I don't really care. Finish is a finish.
Right. So what would it mean to you be the first person to finish her?
And being the first person to finish her. I mean, obviously, that's a great thing to be the one to be the first. But at the same time, it's just more of like the finish that I'm going for me.
I'm asking you that just because like the last one was a very close fight, split decision. And Matt, I was asking Matt, too, as a fighter, does it matter to you if you win by unanimous or split decision? Does one feel better than the other? Does it mean anything to you if it's unanimous or split?
I think at the end of the day, the thing that matters is getting your hand raised.
Sure.
But I mean, obviously then being like, yeah, it was unanimous. Like there's no questioning it. I know there's a lot, you get a lot more shit when you are on a split decision, you know? Like I had so many people hitting me up being like, yeah, you lost that fight, which is cool. Like, sure. But that's not what my bank account said, you know? And I try not to read the comments anyway, so it doesn't really matter. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm getting my hand raised, and that's all that matters to me.
When a fight's that close, they can't – I always say you can't bitch about it anyway. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it was a close fight. It was a good fight. But how great did it feel to get that W after – listen, you didn't get totally derailed, but you had a couple of tough fights, you know. Listen, obviously you're in a cage.
You can be blunt about it. It's okay. It's all good.
All right.
You're not going to crush me. It's okay.
A little bit when we got Macy on. But, yeah. You know, listen, we got the Roxanne fight when you blew your leg out. And then Alexa Grasso, who's obviously a very tough opponent. Mm-hmm. But then you to fight Miranda, who's a very tough up and comer like yourself. And then the Bester, that had to feel phenomenal. I mean, after a couple of losses, no?
Yeah, I feel like that one really took a lot of, like, just to have a win in general, just took a lot of weight off the, you know, off my shoulders of like, damn, I don't want to go on a 3-fight losing streak, you know? Like, that's just not the way you plan on going, you know? I had obviously tearing my knee and then having a whole year layoff and then coming back against Alexa Grasso, who was a tough opponent. And then, you know, I actually got a concussion in that fight. So then coming off of that and then fighting Miranda, I mean, she's a tough opponent too, you know? So. And that was a lot, but I've never turned down a fight, and I've never said like, hey, can you give me someone else? You know, like I've always taken the first person that they offer because I feel like the UFC has a plan. So, I mean, for the most part, it's always been part of the journey, and whatever comes, comes, and whatever happens, happens, but I'm going to give it my best no matter what.
And does like, cause you were 8-0, I think. I mean, you had dropped those two. Does self-doubt creep in? And what do you do to kind of tell yourself like, look, this can be fixed. This can be straightened out. And how much does it affect you leading into that third fight, after two losses, leading to the Miranda fight?
Yeah. I mean, I've always had a lot of like great people around me, a lot of like strong mindset people, from like coaches and trainers and, you know, just like myself trying to build myself up, you know, like I believe that I'm the best in the world. I'm going to be a champion one day, you know, like that's just facts. Like in my heart, that's just a fact. But there's obviously a lot of outside negativity and a lot of like a lot of close people in my life, you know, sometimes things happen. So I definitely went through a rocky patch from tearing my leg and being out for a whole year and then taking another loss. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happens. And then just in personal life, you know, there's a lot to go through. So obviously there's a lot of reasons why you could be negative. And one of the things that I countered that was I've been working with Eric Thomas and Sherry Riley for quite some time. I know a lot of people are familiar with Eric Thomas. And he introduced me to Sherry Riley. And ever since, you know, from I reached out to them and I was like, hey, I really want to work with you guys. Like I reached out to ET and I was like, hey, I really want you to help me out. And he was like, yeah, yeah. Okay. Like he obviously was going to help me, but it wasn't until like, I kind of felt like I hit rock bottom that I was like, no, I'm really ready to do the work, the mental training and everything. And ever since then, you know, like I feel amazing. I feel great. Like I know I'm going to go out here and smash this girl. Like just everything in my life is just on like an incline, and it just feels so good to like have that weight not only of the losses but just off of like injuries and outside pressure, all of that external stuff. So I've done a lot of the work on the inside, you know, with my heart and my mentality, And I attribute that to a lot, and all of it, to Eric Thomas and Cherry Riley.
Now, I'm sorry, Jimmy.
No, that's
good. Are they mental coaches? That's who you meant?
So ET is a motivational speaker, mental coach, life coach, in my opinion. So he introduced me to Cherry Riley. She's an author and a life coach, high-performance life coach. And, I mean,
Tony Robbins stuff?
Yeah.
Now, it's more than the glass is half full type of thing. I mean, what are they – listen, I'm fascinated by it. Because I can't goof on it. And I tell Jimmy knows, I had that good night with George. George saw a shrink. The guy told him to write my name on a brick, throw it in a lake. Next thing you know, I'm getting my ass kicked in Montreal. I believe in this stuff. I should have had a fucking mind coach. So wait, what exactly, like, you don't have to go through like a session, but what are they doing? Are they just... What does a session consist of?
No, so I mean, a lot of it is, I mean, yes, a lot of it, like right before the fight, one of the calls I had with ET just like 2 days ago was he sent me a voice note of, you know, some of the opportunities he's been given from a speaking engagement. And he was telling me about how he went and spoke in front of, you know, 10,000 people. Well, in front of those 10,000 people, from that created two other opportunities. So he was telling me, you know, with this fight is inside my next opportunity, you know, so from this win is my next opportunity. And so, you know, I'm creating the next opportunity with this fight. So that's one of the things that we've talked on, just like as we get really close to a fight. But one of the things that I've worked on, like overall in myself, is peace. And that's one of the biggest things, is just like internal peace as like a person. And that's something I've worked with Cherry on with a lot, is a lot of people, they'll say something like, say a training session was good, and they're like, hey, I had a really great practice, but this happened. And so what she taught me was, when you say I had a great practice, but this, is anything you say after the but is negating what you just said. So it takes away from the positivity of how great your practice was, you know? So like, just in life, if I'm like, yeah, I'm happy, but I feel like this and this and this, I'm taking away from the fact that I'm happy. You know, so just really like rewriting your mindset of, you know, I'm strong, I'm technically skilled, I'm ready, like all of that. And then just making sure that anytime the negative stuff creeps in your mind, you just acknowledge it, erase it, and replace it. And that's something I've done just in training, in daily life, when I wake up, when I go to sleep, how my sleep was, like everything. And I'm honestly, I have so much peace and just happiness in my life. I just feel great.
It's a great, everything after but is bullshit. Somebody said that to me once and they were right. Yeah. Everything after but, you can just throw it out.
Yeah. Cause it's like, what's the purpose in saying that? You know, it's like if you make a statement like my life is great, why do you got to say the rest of it? It's like, yeah, all of that is going on, but why do you got to like, you know, go on about it?
I don't read too many books on philosophy, but I could have sworn Tyrion Lannister said that shit in Game of Thrones. I heard him say
that. I don't think I've ever seen that either.
Well, that's too violent for you. Don't watch that. No, that's not a feel-good thing. Every time you start to feel good, there's people dying at weddings. Yeah. Don't watch that. That's not a feel-good show. You know, Macy Barber, she don't like that. She likes the fun. You know what you should watch? I watched that. You know what's an underrated movie? Is a funny movie. Is the David Spade comedy, The Wrong Missy. Watch The Wrong Missy.
I think I've seen that one.
Oh, it's pretty funny. Jimmy doesn't, hey, listen, he's a comedian, but damn. Well, I don't know where the fuck his funny bone in is. He doesn't laugh at anything.
I don't laugh at comedy. I enjoy comedy, but I respect them, but they don't make me laugh. And I don't think they suck. It just, I'll watch it and go, oh, that was funny. Like, I just don't necessarily laugh at it. That's all.
He's like he's a little far with the comedy. Like, oh, like I'm a comedian, I don't laugh at shit.
No, but it's like as fighters, if you're watching a fight, you'd react differently than I would react as a non-fighter. Like when somebody gets hit in a fight, you don't go, oh God, they hit him in the face. No, like, you know, you guys live differently.
Are you serious? I go, world star. I get nuts. I don't know. Sorry, Macy. Listen, I'm happy that Macy Barber is back.
Yep.
Come on. We need some excitement. You're back this weekend.
I am. I'm so excited.
It's been too long.
Yeah, it has. For someone who said, hey, I want to fight consistently, I'm like, I fight once a year. And y'all are like, where are you?
That's all right. What are you, 23, though? You have plenty of years left to fight. Plenty of time left. Good luck this Saturday night against Montana. It's a great fight. And, you know, yeah, congratulations on being back, and I'm glad you're healthy.
Yeah, amazing. Say hello to Uriah Faber and all those guys.
Well, Danny's right here. And
Danny! Oh, what's up, stud?
What up?
How are you, dude? Some guys, when they're done fighting, they let themselves go. But look at this fucking guy. Danny, look at you. You're in shape. Let me see the guns. Let me see. Fuck yeah, Danny. He is an alpha male. All right. Good to see you, Danny. Thank you, Macy.
All right. Good talking to you, Macy.
Bye.
I was going to have you flex. I flexed, Danny flexed.
I was going to, but I was afraid I'd hit the mic, like with my hand going up.
I'm happy she's back.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It sucks too. When you get the fight lined up, they have an injury and then you suffer the same injury. Of course it sucks.
You want to, let's pick a couple fights. All right. A couple. What's in the box? What's in the box?
Amanda Lemos, Jessica Andrade.
Jimmy, I love what you ignore, man. Love it.
Oh, that's okay. I'm with you, buddy. I'm sorry.
Jimmy.
Yes.
Jessica Andrade, she knows. She's been, well, I'll tell you right now, she looked good the last, she made short work of Cynthia Calvillo, who's very tough.
Yeah.
And that's sticking out in my head. She's looking tough. But Amanda Lemos has,
she's 11-1.
You know what? Jessica Andrade had her time. It's time for Lemos. She's no lemon. Amanda Lemos. Listen, I don't know where that came from, Jimmy. Jimmy.
But I know where it's going. Cringing. Right in the toilet.
Jimmy, let's keep going.
You're taking Amanda how?
Huh? I'm going to say Amanda by decision. I mean, Jessica's no. She's not even.
Jessica, round 3, TKO.
Okay. You said that, but I think Amanda Lemos understands what's at stake here. She understands what's at stake, you know? Fourth round stoppage, Amanda Lemos. Actually, what am I saying?
Okay.
I said it, though. I fucking said I'm going to stay with it. Wow.
Claudio Puelles against the great Clay Guida.
I like Claudio. I do. I like him a lot. But Clay just beat, he just submitted a world-class BJJ black belt, Leo Santos. You submitted him too, Matt. So I know I submitted Leo Santos back in 2001, but
it's not about
that.
Yeah, it
has nothing to do with anything. It has nothing to do with this, Jimmy. And frankly, it embarrasses me when you bring up my past.
I can't help it.
Okay. I think Clay Guida by decision. Oh, boy, is his wrestling good.
Claudio, second round submission.
I just think you like to be different is what you like to say.
Sometimes. Alexander Romanov against Chase Sherman. Very interesting fight, too.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Chase Sherman has some losses.
I like Chase Sherman.
I know you do. I think you like him a lot, and I like him, too. But he's going versus a guy that does not know how to lose.
He
never got the memo on how to lose. And if you know, Chase knows how to lose. But he also knows how to win. Jimmy, don't start splitting.
See, of course, yeah.
Chase Sherman, don't start a war.
He's 15-0, Romanov.
And the other one's 15-9.
Yeah.
So Romanov's a little bigger.
Yeah.
But who has he fought? Who has he fought compared to who has Chase
Vandera.
What?
He's Vandera.
You're right. He was gonna be right with everything. And Chase is 3-8 in the UFC. I feel like Chase is better than his record, though.
I agree. I think he is, too.
And Alexander's 4-0 in the UFC. This is what I'm going to do. I am a big fan of an underdog.
Okay.
Of the underdog. All right? But I'm going with Alexander Romanov.
Yep, me too. First round.
Jimmy, fucking Jimmy. Is anybody going to believe in Chase? Right now, I want Chase to hit it because he's going to go, you know what? Fuck you guys. I believe in myself. That's why I was going to pick him. But something's good when everybody's picking against you because it makes you like, really?
Yeah, motivate you.
Motivate you, Jimmy. That's what I'm doing there. All right. Oh, let's just go. Let's just be sure pick Macy.
Yeah, Manel Cape. Oh, sorry. Yeah. What are you taking? How are you taking him and when?
Well, oh, with Chase Sherman?
Yep.
I'm switching it. I'm going to go for Chase.
Okay.
You know why? Because I'm going to say that fuck that. I'm going with Romanoff by second round stoppage.
How about you
didn't say how.
Mudaraji. What's that?
How's Romanoff going to win?
I said first round knockout.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said second round. Okay. Yeah.
Sumudarji against Manel Cape.
What about Macy Barber?
We do that. I just happen to see this one next. You want to do Barber De La Rosa? Okay. Yeah, what do you think?
Right over. You skipped right over. Jimmy, I'm going to take Macy Barber. And I think, you know, she wants a finish. But I think that's going to be hard to do with Montana. I think Montana's a tough girl, and I think she's going to make it through. So I think it's going to be Macy Barber by decision.
I agree. Sumudarji against Manel Cape. I'm taking Sumudarji by a decision.
I'm taking Manel Cape by second round stoppage.
Okay.
All right.
And the opening fight on the main card, Charles Jourdain against Lando Venata, we haven't seen in about a year.
I'm going with Lando, man. Lando needs his due, bro. Yeah. Lando needs his respect, and he's coming to get it.
I'm going to take him by decision as well.
All right, we agree. Normally, we agree to disagree, but today we agree and we agree on that. Jimmy, I always have so much fun with you.
Me too.
One of the fights this weekend, they're at a different time there. That
I just closed everything. God,
I got it. Jimmy, I'll handle this.
UFC, you handle it, Matt.
UFC Fight Night. Lemos versus Andrade, and it's April 23rd, and it's at the UFC Apex in Las Vegas. Prelims start at 6 p.m. Eastern time, and the main card starts at 9 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN Plus.
Okay.
You're proud of me the way I did that?
Yeah, very proud of you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Jimmy, what do you want to plug for yourself, my friend?
Just May 6th and 7th in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Ooh. I have other dates coming up in Jim Thorpe, PA, Delaware, because DC sold out. So if you miss me in there, come see me in Delaware in June. And I also have New Jersey down by the shore in Point Pleasant. And tonight, Fat Black Pussycat in New York running my hour.
Woo! Watch your mouth. Me, yes. I have... I like when I make you cringe. I do my cameos. I did one yesterday. I sang to somebody. And that's it, man. SarahBJJ.com if you want a hoodie or a rash guard or some shit.
All right.
That's it, Jimmy. Hey, man. You almost look at me. I know that face. That's the face of someone who's sad that I'm not going to talk to you until next week.
I know. I'll talk to you over the weekend.
Hey, man. Shit, dude. We can talk over the weekend.
I would like that.
All right. Jimmy, you know I love you.
All right, pal. I love you.
Goodbye, everyone. Goodbye, Unfiltered Army.
Good evening.